Saturday Night Theatre. With Intent, the novel by Lawrence Henderson, dramatized for radio by Susan Ashman and Felix Felton, who plays Detective Sergeant Milton. With Intent.
Nasty night, Constable.
No, you're right, Mr. Lloyd. Only fit for stray cats and policemen.
Why don't you come inside and have a cup of tea?
And miss all the burglars?
Well, there won't be many about on a night like this.
Well, not that they've any sense. Some of them haven't, though.
You sure you won't come in?
Oh, better not, Mr. Lloyd. Thank you all the same.
Good night, then, Constable.
Good night. Who's this joker, I wonder? Hey, steady there, you young maniac. Good Lord. All right in there? Are you all right, young'un? Here, what are you doing? Don't point that thing at me.
Ah!
Desk sergeant here. What?
Constable Toms. Shot in the face.
Where are you? Corner of Legume Street. Yes, I know. By the railway bridge. Always straight there. Horsehead.
Yes, Sergeant.
Get a car quick. Somebody's shot Toms.
Constable Toms? Why on earth should anyone want to do that?
We'll find out. Hurry up. The first thing is to get there.
Here he is, Sergeant. Just as he fell. I thought we'd better not move him.
Oh, my God.
Steady, lad. Point blank range, eh? Did you see it, Mr.?
Lloyd. No, but I heard it. I live at that house on the corner.
Oh, yes.
I just said goodnight to the constable, as I usually do. Then I heard this car and then the shot.
Who fired it?
Well, the young man in the car, I suppose. I looked out of the window and he was walking away towards the railway bridge.
Did you see his face?
No. He never looked back.
Oh, well, we'll come to that. You're on the telephone.
Oh, yes. My wife has phoned for an ambulance already.
Well done. Porton, you'd better go to Mr. Lloyd's house and ask if you can call Detective Superintendent Davis.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lloyd, you don't mind coming along to the station, do you? We must get all the facts as quick as we can.
Please, sit down, Mr. Lloyd.
Thank you.
I am Detective Superintendent Davis. This is Detective Sergeant Milton, who will be directly in charge of the case.
Good evening, Sergeant. Oh, good morning, rather.
How do you do, Mr. Lloyd?
I've had a word with Sergeant Newcomb, who came out in the police car when you phoned in. But Milton and I are CID. We'd like to hear your story direct. I know you want to get back home, so I'll keep this as short as possible.
Is there any news of the constable?
We don't know. He's in the operating theater now. It's thanks to you he's got any chance at all. Oh, cigarette?
No, thank you. Well, it must have been about 2:30. I'm a very bad sleeper, and I heard the constable, as I do most nights.
Mm-hmm.
I felt particularly sorry for him tonight. It was so bitterly cold. In fact, I tried to tempt him in for a cup of tea, but he wouldn't hear of it. Then, some minutes later, I heard the screech of a car at the corner. There was a bump, and it stopped. I heard the constable walk over to it, and then there was the explosion, the shot.
You knew it was a shot?
I guessed it was. I never thought of it as being anything else. So then I went to the window.
What exactly could you see?
Everything. Mine's a corner house, and there's a street lamp just outside. The car was at an angle with its two front wheels off the pavement, as if it had been trying to corner too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The driver's door was open. And I saw the back of a man moving away towards the railway line.
And the constable?
He was lying on the pavement, not more than a foot from the car. The man was making for the railway bridge. That's how I saw him. There's a light on the steps there.
Did you see his face?
No, only his back. He was a young man. Well, at least he walked like one. Taller than me, about 5'9", I should say. He wore a suede jacket with a fur collar. One of those, I think they call them, motoring coats.
Yes. Anything else?
Yes. As he passed directly under the lamp, I saw that he had white hair.
You're sure of that?
Yes. I realize it's important, but I'm quite sure. It was so startling. And there was one curious thing.
Yes?
He never looked back. He'd shot a policeman and left him for dead for all he knew, but he wasn't perturbed. He never even glanced back to see if anyone was after him.
Was he holding anything?
Well, some sort of stick, it looked like. It must have been about 18 inches long. It was a gun, I suppose. Well, by that time, my wife had woken up, so I asked her to phone the police and get an ambulance, and I went out to the constable.
You did very well, Mr. Lloyd. You're quite sure about this white hair?
Absolutely. I even wondered if it was some sort of wig or disguise. But it looked too flat, too sleek for that. There was one other thing,
yeah?
But I know you only want facts.
Go on.
He had an air about him, a sort of disdain. He wasn't in a hurry. He didn't seem to care whether he was seen or not. What I mean is, he didn't look the sort of man who would be interested in disguise.
Was there anything else? Anything special about the way he walked, for instance?
No, I can't say there was.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lloyd. I'm very grateful to you. I won't keep you any longer. See Sergeant Newcomb at the desk, and you'll arrange for a car to take you home.
Thank you.
Well, if anything else does occur to you, no matter how trivial, get in touch with me at once. Sergeant, see that Mr. Lloyd gets a car home, will you? If you want me, I'll be in here with Milton.
Certainly, Superintendent.
Good night, Mr. Lloyd.
Good night.
Well, Arthur, any ideas?
I wish I had.
What cases has Tom's been involved in?
Small stuff, mostly. Drunks, a few fights. The biggest pitch he made was on a break-in, and that was some kids. There's no one who'd set this up for him.
Someone did. Who's at the hospital?
Pawson. And Newcomb sent a policewoman, Christine Redden, to see Tom's wife.
2 years to go till retirement. As gentle a man as you're ever likely to meet in our profession. The village bobby who helped kids across the road. Whoever did this, I want him.
We all want him.
All right. Let's get down to work, then. Come in. Oh, morning, Arthur.
I've done two lists, sir. This one covers all known albino criminals, and this one... anyone ever arrested by Toms with their brothers, fathers, and known friends.
Well?
There's nothing very promising in either.
I was afraid of that. Well, at least we've got something on the car. It belongs to a doctor. It was stolen 7 weeks ago from a car park in Sutton. The plates are false and the license is a forgery. A good one.
Professional?
Very. And yet, the car stalled because the driver didn't change down for the corner. It doesn't make sense for a car to be duffed up by a pro and then driven by a beginner.
Yeah. Anything in the car?
None of the doctor's gloves, no drugs or anything like that. The worst ones are the ones you can't understand. Who would want to do this to Tom's? Davis? Oh, hello, Pawson. How is he? Good. What? Oh, God, no. All right, Pawson. Yes. You stay there for the moment. It was Pawson from the hospital. Tom's will live if he comes out of the shock okay. They've had to remove both his eyes.
Oh, no.
Milton, I want this bastard. Oh, before you came in, I was speaking to Mr. Miller. He was asking if I needed any help.
They want to bring in the glamour boys.
An offer, Arthur, just an offer.
Tom's was our man, sir.
Let's keep it in the family, eh? It'll be a flog. A lot of it'll fall on you.
Yes, sir.
I thanked Mr. Miller and told him we had everything in hand.
We have.
And we'd better have. Wouldn't be much of a mark to fall down on this one.
Well,
Tom should be able to talk in a day or two. Oh, and I'll have a word with Glenton, the ballistics man. He might be able to tell us something. Must have been a shotgun.
But it doesn't make sense, though.
What doesn't?
Well, I've seen a few shotguns. At close range, they tear you apart.
Yes, I'm with you, Arthur. But Tom's was on top of him. He might have got hold of the gun.
Then the main charge would have gone past him. Newcomb didn't see any sign of it on the houses, nor did Lloyd. I asked him.
Yes, I think you've got something there. I can't see that it gets us anywhere, but it's worth bearing in mind. I'll ask Glenton about it.
I've read reports of the injuries, Superintendent. The tattooing would be consistent with unburned particles of powder driven into the skin by great force. His face was terribly scorched. The amount of powder burning would indicate a shotgun cartridge.
I have a witness to the man carrying a long-handled gun. It sounds like a shotgun.
Very likely. But perhaps you're not aware of this. When a shotgun is fired, the shot doesn't spread out immediately. For the first 5 or 6 feet, it travels as a solid column of lead. If such a charge had been fired point-blank at Constable Toms, it would have smashed into him with the force of a cannonball.
But according to the doctors, all the damage to Toms was done by powder burns.
At short range, that can be damn near as dangerous. The gases generated by the discharge of a shotgun cartridge reached several hundred degrees centigrade. It was that heat which blinded your constable. It could be as powerful as, say, half a dozen blow lamps.
In other words, the shot had been removed.
So it would seem. And another puzzling thing. How was the powder kept in place? A piece of felt, anything, would have the force of a bullet at that range. There used to be an old circus trick of firing a candle through a plank door.
What do you think happened then?
I can't say. Possibly a thin skin of candle grease across the powder that would hold it in place and completely disintegrate on firing. But again, what's the point? Was he just trying to frighten someone?
This trick with the candle grease, would many people know about it?
Well, it's not hard to think out. Practically anyone who uses a shotgun in the normal run of things would know about it. Wildfowlers, gamekeepers, farmers, anyone like that.
Have you ever heard of a man being blunted with a shotgun in this way?
Well, not at this range. I should be very interested to hear what your man was up to when you catch him.
I'm obliged to you, Mr. Glenton. I'll let you know. Well, I'd better get along to the hospital now and see how our chap's making out. Oh, sister, I'm Superintendent Davis. Could I have a word with Constable Toms?
The doctor has instructed he must be kept very quiet.
Yes, just a few questions. You wait here, Arthur.
All right, sir.
Hello, Toms. It's Davis here. Hello. Don't move, old man. I mustn't be long. Just tell me what happened. Take your time.
I hardly saw him. I thought he was a drunkard. He hit the curb and the engine stopped.
Yes?
I walked up to the car. There was only one man. Very young. When I got near, he opened the window. Near side. I got up to the car and he shot me.
Did he say anything?
No.
Did you?
No.
Did he threaten you with a gun?
I didn't know it was a gun. I thought it was a stick. He didn't wave it about. He just pointed it at me.
What did he look like?
Young. 19, 20, something like that. He had a thin, refined sort of face. Good looking. Large eyes.
What color?
I don't know.
What about his hair?
It was fair. Like it is on some girls. Very fair.
It wasn't white?
No.
You're sure?
I've been thinking about it a lot.
Yes, yes, of course. Have you any idea at all why he should have shot you?
No.
Well, I'm going now, men. Be sensible and do what they tell you. I'll be back when you're feeling stronger.
Anything, sir?
No more than men already, Arthur. It was a young man with very fair hair. So fair that it looks white under a sodium lamp. The light on that bridge is a sodium lamp.
So he's not an albino?
No. I doubt he was known either. Toms had never seen him before. And I doubt if he'd ever seen Toms.
In that case?
Probably. But he'd still have a reason. He shot him for a reason. He wasn't carrying a gun for nothing.
The gun's a clue.
No, why?
It's not usual.
Well, easy enough to get hold of.
Yes, but not to carry about. A tearaway would saw the barrel off. You're not that cattle with a gun unless you've used it before for shooting duck or something.
Refined.
Eh?
Tom said he had a refined face, a pretty boy with hair like a girl, very refined. You reckon he's landed gentry as well?
It's possible.
Oh, anything's possible. He's certainly not a professional. And knowing what he isn't makes it harder. Snout sounded good on this, or turning over doss houses. He's probably tucked up at home with respectful parents who'd give him the top brick off the chimney. That's the old story. I'm going back to the station, so I may as well drop you off at the dog track.
Sir?
Show your face round the bookies. They've got their ears to the ground. It all helps.
Station sergeant. No, madam. No trace of your little dog yet. Oh, yes. We'll ring you the first moment we've any news. Yes, madam. We've every available man on the job. Certainly, madam.
Oh, hello, Henry.
Oh, Mr. Davis wants you.
What about?
I don't know. Station sergeant. Oh, what's the address, sir?
Oh, come in, Arthur. We're just talking about you.
Four.
Oh, you know Sergeant Lefevre.
Fingerprints, isn't it? I've seen the sergeant in court.
I wanted you to hear this. Sergeant Lefevre's brought down his report on the car.
If you can call it that. Whoever duffed this car knew what he was doing. There's nothing on the wheel, gear stick, handles, and I mean nothing, not a smear. Not even a hair or fiber caught at the seat edges.
Professional.
Oh, very. Takes patience to go over a car like that.
Except on the inside edge of the door, by the lock, just where the tongue comes out. There was a tiny spot of oil, and he put his fingers across it.
You've got a print.
Not a full one, that's the trouble. It's a partial. Very clear what there is of it, but it wouldn't stand up in court. All the same, I'm certain it's a second finger of a man called Harry Carter.
Old friend of yours, isn't he, Arthur?
I know him.
I was telling the sergeant before you came in that Carter doesn't fit in with any of this. He's not a pretty boy with white hair. He's been out of trouble for a long time now.
I'm sure it's his print.
It's a bit of a turn-up.
So we have to box clever here, Arthur. One partial print isn't evidence, and this joker knows his way around. You know him better than anyone. You've knocked him off, haven't you? Do you want first crack at him?
Well, I'd like to think about it, sir.
He owns a couple of shops and lives above them, doesn't he?
He used to. He knows a bit about cars, too.
Oh, ask Newcomb. He might know something. I think he rates a visit.
All right. Got a moment, Henry?
Sure.
Harry Carter.
Yeah? What?
The fingerprint chap says he's found a parcel on the car.
Well, that doesn't make sense. He's been out for years. I thought he'd had enough. He doesn't circulate. Married with a kid and settled down.
The only thing that makes sense, Henry, is that Carter got hold of this car for someone else, duffed it up for a job and then dumped it.
Yeah. You can have him in?
Or else have a go at his shops?
With nothing to back it up, he'll just tell us to get knotted. You reckon this bloke, Lefevre?
He knows his job.
Done anything about a warrant?
Not yet, sir.
Well, move yourself, or the beat'll be off to their country seats. Let your wife know you'll be late.
Sir?
We're going in at midnight. Don't want to frighten his customers, do we?
There's his two shops, sir, just on the corner of Walworth Road.
Pull in, driver. Those two?
Yes, sir.
Well, he's doing all right. Is there a back way?
Well, sort of. There's a yard in line with all the others.
Will you take that, Spencer?
Yes, sir.
How do we get in?
Well, there's a street door by the far shop shutter. There is another staircase inside, but it only comes down into the first shop, sir.
Come on, then. Again.
Who the hell's there?
Come on, open up.
Christ, it's the law.
Oh, come on.
What the hell do you want?
I am Detective Superintendent Davis.
Maybe you are, but I still want to know what you want.
It would be better if we came inside.
Oh, no, it wouldn't.
Well, you know me, don't you, Sally?
I ought to. Detective Sergeant Milton. I'm a big girl now. So show me a warrant or shove off.
Oh, there you are, then. Now, be a good girl and let us in.
Now, look, just a minute.
Oh, you no. Either you open this door or we break the chain.
Do you think you're talking to?
To a citizen who should have nothing to hide. Now stop playing about and take off this chain.
I can't with your bloody foot there, can I? Come on, then, you great clumsy clodhoppers.
Place.
Well, are you going to start by having the sideboard out? Or do you want the lavatory first?
Is your husband in?
No.
Where is he?
Why?
Oh, come off it, Sally. We're only doing our job.
I've got a right to know what all this is about. Harry's been out of trouble for years.
Then he's got nothing to worry about. Looking up old friends is part of the routine. You know that.
Routine? Sounds like it with him. Superintendent, is he? Very trivial, I'm sure, to bring him and the rest of you round at this time of night.
There's nothing trivial about it. Constable?
Sir?
There's a staircase at the other end of the corridor. Go out to the yard, search it, and the garage. Once you're satisfied there's no one there, tell the other constable to come up here.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else besides you?
My daughter's in bed.
Get her up.
I'm going to ring my solicitor.
Ring who you like once you've got your daughter up.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Mom, what's the matter?
Oh, it's the police, love. Don't be frightened. I'll come back with you.
I want this room gone over, Milton.
Yes, sir.
And I mean gone over.
I know what you mean, sir.
You soft on her or something?
She's not bent, never has been.
What's she doing with Carter, then? Walking in her sleep?
He's lucky in his wife, that's all.
Get on with it. And don't forget, I want a really thorough job. We are not doing very well, are we, Arthur?
No.
Found nothing, and don't even know where Carter's gone. Out on a job, for all we know.
I doubt that.
Why should she make such a big secret of it, then?
She just feels stroppy. We put him away twice. He's been out 9 years, and they're doing all right. She isn't going to help anyone end that.
All right, Arthur. Go and see her. Tell her what a bastard I am. Soap her up a bit. See what you can get.
Okay. Sally, can I come in?
Can't stop you, can I? Don't you ever get sick of pushing people around in your lousy job?
Sally, I came to tell you why we're looking for Harry. Do you want your daughter to hear this?
We've got no secrets in this family, mister.
All right, Jill, all right. What's it all about?
You read about Police Constable Toms.
Oh, not that. Not Harry.
No, I don't think so either, but this is where it all leads to.
Oh, God.
You're mad. You're bloody raving mad.
Perhaps. He's got something to tell us, and if he does tell us, he'll be all right. It's different this time. A decent man with a wife and family got shot in the face. If you can't understand...
Carter, come out here. We've got something.
All right, sir.
Did you get anything?
I just explained why we wanted him.
Let us stew a minute. Have a look at these. Car keys. Masses of them. On individual rings.
Oh. Where were they?
In the garden. Back of the garage and hole under the dustbin. They never learn, do they?
I'll go and see his wife again.
Here, take the keys with you.
What are they?
Car keys, Sally. Out of your garden.
They can't be.
Under the dustbin.
Our dustbin's on a paving stone.
And under that is a hole.
Oh, the bloody fool. Oh, why should he do it, Mr. Milton? Where's the sense?
Oh, none, Sally. There never is.
It can't be true. I would have known something.
You're not here all the time. Where do you go tonight?
The dogs.
Too late for that. What does he do then?
Gambling clubs.
Using what for money?
He wins. He's won over £1,000, hasn't he, Mum?
What's the number of his car?
Find out.
It's a cream and maroon Cresta. 344AYN.
Mum.
Harry bought it. Out of his winnings. We all went to Alicante in it. You can't miss it. It's got GB plates on the back.
Mum.
Oh, God. I really thought he'd stopped. We had everything. What a bloody fool he's made of me.
Any luck, Arthur?
He's up west, punting. That's where she thought the money came from.
Oh, did she? Well, we found something else. See the marking on those orange crates? They're part of a lorry load knocked off in Hornsey last week.
Any logbooks?
No, but the gear's all here. Pens, ink remover, outline stamps.
No logbooks, no licenses.
You want jam on it. You'd be a right mug to leave them lying about.
He won't be hard to pick up. He's in a Cresta, 344-AYN.
I want him brought in. Get on to Newcomb.
Any charge?
To assist us in our inquiries. Now, come down, Mrs. Carter, will you? We're taking one or two things away. We have to give you a receipt.
Have a chair, Harry. I've been looking forward to seeing you.
Have it yourself, Milton. I'm not staying.
Oh, don't be like that. It's clean. Won't make a mark on that 80-guinea suit you happen to be wearing.
This is a dead liberty, Milton. I get knocked off in the street like some drunk. That big Bert won't let me near a phone. You know, my wife, Milton, she'll go bloody raving mad.
Shut up and sit down. No. We turned your drum over tonight, Harry. We found enough car keys under your dustbin to fill Wembley Stadium and 3 gross of oranges knocked off in Hornsey last week. Well, your wife's dead worried about you, all right. The way she carried on tonight, you'll be better off inside.
Oh, my God.
A greedy little man, that's what you are, Harry. A load of rubbish.
I don't know what you're talking about. A bloke comes up to me with a load of oranges, gives me the moody, shows me the papers. Well, how do I know what's bent?
Oh, save your breath. Right now, I care about only one thing. A copper got shot in the face and blinded.
Tongs? You're mad.
We found the car. We examined it carefully. Very, very carefully. And you know what we found, don't you, Harry? We got your print.
For God's sake, I had nothing to do with Tom's. I was miles away.
Shut up. I know you duffed that car, and I want to know who for.
It was nothing to do with it. This was some kid, a nutcase.
I'm going to have that name, and I don't care how I get it. I've been through your file pretty carefully. You only deal with the big boys, don't you, Harry? Now, I've got 3 names here. If you really aren't going to say anything, what are we going to do?
What do you mean?
Well, the only thing we can do. Knock over all 3 and spread the word that Harry gave us the nod.
What?
None of them will be very happy, will they?
Milton, for God's sake, they'll do my family.
You know them better than I do.
All right, then. Between you and me, I've been punting. I got on a bad streak. You know what it's like. You have to play yourself out of it. You need capital.
Don't tell me about your sad little life, Harry. Just tell me who the car was for.
Where the hell did I leave that print?
The car, Harry, the car.
This kid came in right in my shop. I nearly had heart failure. In front of all my customers, he came right out and asked me for the keys. He had all the right names, but he didn't have the money, so I phoned through. The keys were on my desk, and he scarpered. The boys went round to the lock-up, but he'd had it away.
What was his name?
I don't know.
What did he look like?
Well, like it says in the papers, a kid. 20, 21... About my height, but skinny. A pretty boy with his hair like a girl.
How did he know the car was in a lock-up?
Well, I don't know, do I?
Who was it for?
I've told you all I know. None of them knew this kid. They can't lead it to him.
You're lying. They knew him all right, even if you didn't. That's why you didn't phone us. They told you to lay off. They're a heavy mob, and you're frightened of them. I want that name. It's one of the 3 I've got here. It's up to you.
And what happens to me?
I don't know, Harry. But I'll tell you this. Whatever happens to you will be a damn sight harder if I get nothing than if I do.
Can't you keep me out of it?
We'll see.
Now, you've got to promise me. You can't let him have a go at my wife. Well, it's not just me.
You're wasting time. The name.
Griffin.
Griffin? You're in deep, aren't you?
Give us a fag, for God's sake.
Here you are.
Sir.
Now, you wait here a minute.
Did he cough, Arthur?
He did.
Oh, what do you use on him? Thumbscrews?
Only my spare set. Oh, go and scowl at him for a few minutes, Henry. I want to have a word with Mr. Davis.
Well, there'll be no one on the desk.
I'll be here. I'll speak to him on the phone.
Okay.
Mr. Davis's office.
Yes?
Sergeant Milton, sir. I've had a go at Carter.
Any luck?
Yes, he duffed the car, and the boy came round and said he'd been told to pick it up. Carter says his mob knew nothing about him.
He's lying.
Yes, he is.
Which mob?
Griffin's.
Could he be lying about that?
I don't think so. It'd be asking for trouble.
What made him cough?
I said we'd put the word around.
Come on, kid, this way.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Christine Wren's just bringing in a girl, a junkie by the looks of it.
There you are, Keith. Sit yourself down there. I'll soon see to you.
Oh,
that's it. Not to worry.
Well, where did you find her?
Gino's. She tried to sell me some purple hearts. You can book her on that. But she's got a story that ties in with the Tom's business.
What do you mean?
She's lost her bloke. He was going to pinch a car from his boss and take her north and marry her. He never turned up. She was expecting him the night Tom's was blinded.
Who was his boss?
Griffin.
It fits. By God, it fits. What else did she say?
Not much. I told her I was a policewoman and she passed out. You won't get much more out of her tonight. Come to that, you look pretty washed out yourself.
I am. Go and see Davis and I'll phone the hospital.
Right.
Then I'm going home before I spend the night in one of Newcomb's cells.
Morning, Arthur.
Good morning, sir.
You haven't lost your touch. You did a very good job on Carter last night.
Oh, I knew him.
Have you ever had anything to do with Griffin?
I know about him, sir.
Yes, he'll be a bit before your time as a straight villain, though. Hasn't been taken for years.
A right bastard, by all accounts.
Oh, is that all right? Here's his file. You've a couple of hours to read it. Rape, assault, armed robbery, the lot. The only thing he's never been done for is riding a bicycle without lights.
So, what about this girl Chris Wren brought in? She was in a bit of a mess.
Nothing to what she got up to later.
Oh?
Started tearing the cell to pieces. Had to be carted off to hospital. She's on dexamphetamine. Lives on it by the number we found in her handbag.
I see.
There are also two or three dress bills in the name of Gloria Lamar.
Oh.
A lot of useless junk, and more to the point, a street photographer's photograph, on which we could just make out a number and the name Porthcawl.
Oh.
We put a message through to the Porthcawl police.
Do you want me to see her, sir?
No, and I'm leaving her with Christine Wren, first track, anyway. What I want you to do is have a word with that bum boy of Griffin's at the Laguna Club.
Oh, Topper Martin.
Yeah, that's the joker. We like old times. Yes?
Telex message from Porthcawl, sir.
Oh, thank you, Porthcawl. And find Christine Wren for me, will you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, she's got a record.
Drugs?
Thieving. Your 128 stroke 12 photo name is Elizabeth Janice Jenkins. Date of birth, 10th of June, 49. Need care and protection, 64. Shoplifting, 65. Probation. Second conviction, theft, 65. 6 months approved school. Absconded, whereabouts unknown. Inskip inspector. Ah, Christine, we found out a little more about your girl.
Isn't Gloria Lamar?
Right. Take this telex along with you.
Oh.
Don't show her straight off. It'd be better if she came to you. But if you have to, throw it in off the cuff.
Well, I'll do my best.
I don't have to tell you how much we're depending on this. As soon as you have something, ring through.
I'll do all I can.
I'll be waiting.
How are you feeling?
How do you think?
You're in good hands here. You like a cigarette?
Oh, don't mind.
What are you going to do? We could contact your family for you.
Oh, they don't want to know.
Is there anyone else?
No, not now.
You're very young. You could start again. It'd be stupid to ruin your life over one man.
It's my life.
Look, you're not stupid. You know what drugs do. You're attractive and you've lived off men. Do you think they'll want you once it starts to show in your face?
Might as well put my head in a gas oven then.
You could. But get it straight who it is that'll make you do it. People like your friend Tom and Griffin. Do you like being used by men?
Oh, should have stayed at home, singing hymns.
What are you going to do?
What can I do? She left me behind for Griffin.
We can protect you.
No. Do you know what they did the last time they sorted a girl out? He used to laugh about it. They went into this pub where she was and sat looking at her. She was scared to go out. She knew they'd kick her all over the place if they caught her in the street. So she just sat there. Finally, they got fed up, poured a bottle of brandy in a pint glass. Then they moved off as if they were leaving. And as they passed her, they poured the brandy over her and dropped a match on her. Burned half her face away.
And they laughed about it.
They laughed about it.
How did you get mixed up with people like this?
Oh, I was in Wales. At school, and this fella Glynn. wouldn't leave me alone. He used to hang around the school, my house as well. Write me notes. Phil's most of it. Then his wife had a go at me, and I thought, right, you stupid cow, I'll show you. I said to him one night, I'm off to London. Come in or not? He came.
How long were you with him?
3 months. Got a job in a plastic factory.
What happened?
Oh, it's that bloody bedsitter. He expected me to sit there all day waiting for him and then cook for him on that crummy gas ring and then get on the bed with him. He's always trying to get me to do things his wife wouldn't. That's why he came away with me, I suppose.
How did you meet Griffin?
Through Barney.
Barney?
I'd started hanging around the cafe in the daytime, and this old eye tie that runs it asked me if I fancied working there in the lunch hour. Oh, I never told Glynn. He'd have wanted some of the money. Barney used to come in. He was a big guy. The others were a bit careful of him. I went out with him, and, well, so it all started. He worked for Griffin.
And Glynn?
Oh, he didn't like that, did he? Tried to knock me about. Spiteful bastard. I got Barney to see to him. And that was that. Then he told me to go up to Griffin's.
And where does the blonde boy come in? The one with the car?
Tom. Oh, he was around. I'd seen him up at Griffin's gambling parties, bringing people in. And one day, oh, I had this hangover. But it wasn't just that. I felt
depressed?
Like doing myself in. He came and talked to me. It was just what I needed. Someone my own age. He gave me some pills, and all of a sudden, I felt marvelous. Then he took me up to Chelsea, and we walked along the river. It was great.
You saw a lot of him?
All the time.
Did he work?
He sold pills, drifted about. He did all right.
Did you know his name?
No, he never told me. Not his last name. Oh, he was a funny bloke. I mean, he was different.
How?
Oh, he was clever. Educated. You ought to see some of the books he read.
Did he take drugs?
Not many, just a pill now and then. He never touched the hard stuff. He sold it.
Where did he get it from?
I don't know.
Do you know where he came from?
North. At least that's what he said. He didn't speak like he came from the north. He came to London to go to college.
Where?
A big place, near Tottenham Court Road.
London University?
I don't know.
Why was Griffin after him?
Oh, money, I suppose. I think he held on to some of Griffin's money. I do know he got money from some of the people who went to Griffin's parties.
Blackmail?
Don't know. He said we'd go back to where he lived. That's why we needed the car.
Why the car that Carter was holding?
Well, he thought it was funny to go in one of Griffin's cars, but he needed a safe one too, you see, and Carter wouldn't report his stolen, would he?
I see. And you knew about this car, where it was?
Barney had told me about Carter when I first knew him, how he always had one there ready for Griffin. Well, that's how they know it was me. They'll sort me out like they sorted the other girl out, and I don't want half a face.
What have you been doing since?
Walking. About. Sleeping. Different room every night. Trying to find him.
Did you know he had a gun?
No. He had all sorts of things hidden all over the place. He was clever.
What sort of things?
All sorts of things. Kept his drugs in the cemetery.
What?
Straight up. He had to get some in Harry a couple of weeks ago, and I went with him. It was ages on the tube.
Where was it?
Ealing. Well, that's where we got off the tube. I don't know the name of the cemetery.
You know where it is?
I know the way. Been back there. Thought I might see him.
Do you know which grave?
I'm rabbiting like a good un, aren't I?
Look, you can only be on one side or the other. Your choice has been made for you, hasn't it?
Oh, what the hell, anyway. He wouldn't let me go with him to the grave. He told me to stay on the bench. Oh, but of course I looked. He took some flowers. I'll say that for him.
So he went in with the flowers and came back with drugs?
That's right.
Was it a big cemetery?
Yes, I suppose so. Well, there were 5 roads off in all directions and then the others going off them.
Which one did he go along?
The middle one.
And after that?
You go up this path on the right. different from the others. It's not tarred, sand and stones.
And the grave is there?
Well, that's when he told me to stay behind, but I crept up and had a peep. Saw him bending over this grave.
What was he doing?
Putting flowers on it.
Did you see which grave it was?
No, not exactly. It's about the third of the way along.
Do you remember which row?
Yes. I remember it was about the fourth row.
And when he came back, he had the drugs with him?
I told you. I'll go up there and wait for him.
I don't know. It's not up to me.
What will happen when I go to court? Will you be there?
Yes, I'll be there. There's no need for you to worry. You've been a great help, and we'll remember that.
Don't suppose I'll ever see him again. Funny. One minute you're all making plans, ready to spend your life with someone, and then suddenly it's all over. He's gone.
Now, that wasn't your fault. He wasn't what you thought he was. You're well rid of him.
Hello, Arthur. What have you been up to?
Calling on one of Griffin's henchmen, Topper Martin at the Laguna.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get anything. But I tell you what, Henry, you know that dirty bookshop Griffin's got on the corner of Old Compton Street?
Well?
I saw an old friend of yours outside there, Pinky Price.
Yeah, that little rat.
Looks like he's working for Griffin. He was touting. He scarpered when he saw me, but I'd know that old prune anywhere. I'll just drop you the word in case you're thinking of using him.
Thanks. Now I'll drop you one. Davis wants you. Christine's got a line on your geezer. He peddles drugs and keeps him in a cemetery.
Oh, where?
Ealing. Porson's out there already. Daves will give you the gen. Don't keep him waiting. He's fretting to get off to head office. Oh, one other thing. This bloke of yours used to be at London University. Go on to what the slag told Chris.
Oh, did he now?
Yes?
Oh, come in, Arthur. Well, things are moving. Have you heard?
Yes, Newcomb said Pawson's gone out to Ealing on a tip from Chris.
That's right. They found the grave. All sorts of stuff. He's a cunning bastard. The turf on the grave hinges back. There was an airtight box in a hole underneath, full of little plastic containers.
Oh.
I've told Pawson to send him to the lab. I want you to get out there, straight away.
Who's the divisional inspector, sir?
Gray, Inspector Gray.
Gray.
Look, Arthur, I'm off to HQ. I may be tied up there till pretty late. I'd like a couple of hours at home tonight, if I can. When you finish the dealing, call round. We'll have a talk there.
Yes, very good, sir.
Off again.
Ealing. Pawson's onto something. Don't forget about Pinky Price.
It'll be a pleasure. Same again, Pinky?
Look, I've got nothing for you, Mr. Newcomb. None of the boys knows this geezer. Pretty boy with blonde hair. But it's a queer out at Greenwich, goes round the clubs, dyes his hair every bleeding colour. But he was in lumber last Thursday. I'd stake me arms on it not being any of the boys. Oh, there's a few who'd put a boot on a copper, but blind him? Ooh.
What about Griffin?
Griffin? What's Griffin got to do with it? He don't even know Tom's.
What's he been doing?
Oh, well, no, I don't even see him. This isn't Griffin, Mr. Newcomb. Oh, he's capable of it, all right, but he don't use kids. If Griffin did do anyone, he'd make a real job of it. He'd kill him.
Griffin knows this kid all right. He's been looking for him. Why?
Well, does it matter? I mean, it could be anything. Talked out of turn. Cashed a bouncer up at Griffin's gaming room.
Oh, and of course, Griffin would let some kid he's never seen before stick him with a stoomer check. Oh, he must do it all the time.
Well, I'm only trying to help.
What's all the act for, Pinky? Someone been putting their thumb in your ear?
If I knew anything, I'd tell you, Mr. Newton. You know that.
How long have you worked for Griffin's?
Me?
Old Compton Street. That bookshop is Griffin's.
Listen, Mr. Newcomb, I'm an old man. I was working with this Chopper Martin. It's the old game.
I'll listen a bit before I take you down.
It had nothing to do with Griffin's dirty books. Oh, you know how it goes. You wait till some Burke's looking at the pictures in the window, and you ask him if he wants a private show. We were only lifting it off some dirty-minded gits. Serves him right. Of course, you need a lot of new faces. That's why Topper roped me in.
Yeah. Why run, then?
Well, we've all got our pride, Mr. Newcombe. If I have to root behind a few dustbins now and then, I don't want anyone to see me at it, do I?
All right, Pinky, I'll wear it for now. But don't get ambitious, will you?
Me, Mr. Newcombe?
Stay in your own league, Pinky.
Sit yourself down, Arthur.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, I haven't a cigarette in the house. Always smoke a pipe myself.
Oh.
Well, now, you've been a busy boy, I hear. Have you had a lab check yet?
Yes, sir. 700 tablets, mostly amphetamine, some phials of LSD, and a small quantity of cocaine and heroin.
You've done very well.
Oh, it's Porson, really, sir.
Yes, he's a good lad. Now then, where do we go from there?
Well, I think we might get somewhere on the grave itself. It's 14 years old and a D number. That means it's a private grave.
Whose?
It's a woman, Selina Brockhaus. She died at the age of 36 after a car smash in the Brompton Road. I've got a copy of the death certificate.
So, that was 14 years ago. Now this comedian uses her grave to keep his rubbish in. Probably because it looked neglected. Now, it's all water under the bridge, Arthur.
She had a son, sir, Thomas Derrick.
Oh? Oh. How old?
8 when she died, so he'd be 22 now.
It could be, Arthur. It could very well be.
Of course, it might be a right frost, but it's worth pursuing.
You bet. The only bloody line we've got.
He'll be back for his drugs.
And you want to wait for him. Yes, it could be an awful long wait. Too long. But we could flush him.
Could we, sir?
Yes, what I had in mind was a release to the press.
I see.
A word to one of Newcomb's mates ought to do it. Something about the bird coming up in court. You know, something like, the police asked that Jenkins, otherwise Gloria Lamar, be detained in custody, as they believe she could assist them in inquiries of a serious nature. We'll get that in tomorrow's evening editions. Yes, but what if he goes there tomorrow night? What then?
Well, I got this map from the Borough Surveyor.
Oh.
Now, I think we can forget the main gates. They'll be locked, and they're 9 feet high with spikes on top. There are well-lit roads on three sides.
Uh-huh.
But that's where I think you'll come in, on the corner by the recreation field.
Uh-huh.
The wall's quite low there, and there are marks on top as if someone's used it already.
Where's the grave?
There, sir. The 8th plot from the end of this row.
Yes, I see. No trees or shrubs or anything near it.
Well, there is this hut, sir, 20 yards away. It's a sort of potting shed the gardeners use.
All right, there's your observation post. But you've got no lights.
I thought you might have a word with Central, sir. I'm told they've got this gadget from a submarine.
Well, the one they use for observing brothels.
Yes.
Does everybody know about that thing? All right, Arthur, I'll set it up with Central. You've had the course, haven't you?
Sir?
Pistol. I want you armed.
I shouldn't think he'll be bringing his gun with him, sir.
Maybe not, but I don't want any encores. If anyone gets a bullet through them, make sure it's the other fellow. I want him all in one piece, though. Oh, and the car. Pick the crew you want, so long as it's on the roster.
Yes, sir.
Good luck. And as a matter of fact, you can wish me luck as well. I have an interesting little appointment of my own.
Oh, who is, sir?
Griffin.
Griffin?
Mm. He's asked me to call round and have a little chat. Your visit to Topham Martin seems to have had its effect after all.
Detective Superintendent Davis.
All right. Get out. Well?
Well, Griffin?
Get on with it.
I've had a man shot. Constable Toms. You'll have heard of it.
Well?
It was done by a friend of yours.
Talk sense.
There's only the two of us here. Don't get worried.
Who's worried?
He'll know all about you, Griffin, this fella. He knocked off a scrubber of yours, Gloria Lamar. And you didn't like it. You wouldn't, would you?
What the bloody hell do you want, Davis?
His name.
Why don't you ask this Lamar tart?
You've had your hounds out for him, but I want him more than you do, Griffin. And I'm going to have him.
I don't have to worry then, do I?
What's his name? Don't tell me there's honor among thieves.
You're getting on my wick.
What's the matter, Griffin? You wouldn't think twice about booting his head in. Why not give the name?
I'll give you what I've always given coppers. Nothing.
No one's too big, you know, Griffin. You're getting an old man, like me. You might want to go somewhere quiet one of these days. You might want us to leave you alone.
Why don't you start crawling around the room and have done with it? You've tried everything else. What are you frightened of? Your pension. They're going to dock it or something if you don't bring him in.
Oh, for God's sake, Griffin, what sort of rubbish are you made of? He's done it once for no reason. He's going to do it again to anyone, to a man with a family, to a woman, a kid, someone decent.
Oh, someone decent. And who the hell's that?
The public. The people everyone else lives on. The people who make things, work all day, week in, week out, pay mortgages, raise their kids.
Oh, that lot. The little people. Go down Dean Street, Davids, and you'll see them queuing up for the strip clubs. They can't wait to see things like that Lamar scrubber stand up and take their clothes off. The public.
You rang?
Of course I rang you, Cal. Our guest is going. Give him his halo.
Why the hell does this poor girl put up with you?
She's my daughter. Or so she says.
Nice night we've chosen. Nothing like a cozy cemetery to make the most of a thunderstorm.
Shall I call up the car, Sergeant?
No, I'll do it, Pawson. Purple 3 to Bandit 4. Over.
Bandit 4 here. I'm hearing you loud and clear. Over.
There's a hell of a lot of interference.
It's a storm, Sergeant. Build up of static.
I know what it is. Anything to report?
Nothing inside.
All right. Over and out. So what's up, lad?
Sorry, Sarge. I got a cramp.
Oh, God. Get up on your toes and push your weight down on them. That does it sometimes.
Oh, that's a bit better.
Yeah. Could be a copper. How long have we been here?
It's 10 to 12.
Purple 3.
Purple 3, this is Bandit 4. A man has passed the cemetery gate. He's on foot.
Alone?
Yes. He's wearing an oilskin and a cap. Looking about the street. He's moving out of range of the street lamp. He's gone.
Right, Bandit 4. Keep listening. Here he comes. Yes, he's our man, all right. There, you see? He's using a torch to find the grave. No. Wait till he's turned the turf back. Then we've got him red-handed. Now!
He's seen us!
Stop there! Stop! Or we'll fire!
Oh! God, you hurt?
My ankle, I caught it. I'm so thankful. Never mind me. After him. He's making for the wall. After him! Where am I?
In the patrol car, Sergeant. On your way to hospital with Pawson, poor devil.
What happened?
He got a over. Oh, I caught his coat.
Pawson, did he shoot you?
No. I caught my arm on the spike.
He's in a bad way, Sergeant. Torn it right up to the elbow.
And the man?
Wriggled out of his coat and was over the wall like an eel.
But I heard two shots.
And they were at me. Hmm. I was making on him a bit, and he turned and loosed off. Then I threw my truncheon at him, and he was round the corner. The driver had turned the car round by then, but he just vanished. It was a footpath through to a car park, but there was no car, or we'd have heard it.
A bicycle. That's what he used, a bloody bicycle.
We've alerted the hospital, Sergeant. They're expecting you both.
Oh, I don't need a hospital. It's my ankle, that's all.
You don't look too good, sir, if you don't mind me saying so.
I expect I'll look a damn sight worse when I've seen Mr. Davis in the morning.
There's your friend, Sergeant. Third bid. You can go home.
Thank you, Doctor.
Morning, Henry.
God, you look awful.
I wish people would stop saying that. I can't even get my shoe on because of this idiotic bandage. Have you seen Pawson?
Yes. He looks like he'll be all right.
You've heard all about it, I suppose.
I heard a bit.
How's Mr. Davis?
He's not happy.
No. It'll never be forgotten, will it, the ricket I've made of this lot?
Oh, David's okayed it.
A fat lot of difference that'll make.
Well, get up, then. I've got better things to do than to listen to you being sorry for yourself.
Thanks for collecting me, anyway.
Well, be your age. You've got a face like a ferret with a mange.
Let me out at the corner and I'll bloody walk.
No 18 pence, that's your trouble. What do you expect, a round of applause? You take a patrol car, Pawson, trick binoculars, personal radios and God knows what else and you screw it. The one way he has to go if he runs and you leave it open. Didn't even think of that, did you, big head?
You enjoying this?
Well, someone ought to tell you. Davis won't.
What's the point? I'm a Charlie, all right. I had all the time in the world and I muffed it. He had me over.
You still don't get it, do you?
Huh?
I told you myself what that bird said, but you wouldn't listen. You had to go airing off to the boneyard.
What the hell are you talking about?
The school, the college, the bloody university.
God almighty. A single phone call.
That's better.
What a bloody fool.
That's right.
Where are you driving, Henry?
What the hell do you think? Station. I'm clocking off.
Let me out. I'm going home for another suit. Something for calling on professors.
Keen, aren't you?
I'm Detective Sergeant Milton, Mr. Grimaldi, and I understand that you can help me with some inquiries I'm making.
Yes. I'm sure you won't mind my asking, but I believe the plainclothes policemen carry cards of identity with them. Thank you. Now, how can I assist your inquiries, Sergeant Milton?
I understand that Thomas Derrick Brockhouse was a student of yours.
Yes, that's correct.
When did you last see him?
Well, he left some months ago. I've not seen him since.
Have you any idea where he went? It's very important that we make contact with him.
Why?
We make inquiries for a number of reasons, Mr. Grimaldi. Did Mr. Brockhouse finish his course with you?
As I'm sure you're already aware, Sergeant Milton, Mr. Brockhouse was sent down from this university.
I didn't know that.
Not from the Dean's office.
They only said that you would tell me anything I wished to know. Why was he sent down?
His work was not satisfactory.
Would you mind telling me why?
Sergeant, a university is thought of by those who don't enter one as a rather cloistered establishment. A place of dreamers, a place of quiet study. Would you think of a university as such a place as that?
Yes, I suppose I would.
In fact, a university is a pressure chamber. Bright little boys and girls come along every year in all shapes and sizes from all sorts of places with all sorts of ideas. But there is always one thing they never think of, never dream could possibly happen. Failure. Yeah. They've never failed before. They've got used to success. But when they get here, they find that to be intelligent is commonplace. To be the best among the best is a challenge they've never had to face. It's not at all rare, Sergeant, for students to commit suicide if they fail in their degree.
And Brockhouse?
I thought you only wanted to trace Mr. Brockhouse's whereabouts.
I also want to know anything else I can about him. Would you say he was one of those who was not clever enough?
No, I wouldn't say that. He was very intelligent. It was his concentration that was at fault. He wasn't interested in taking his degree. It was not what he was looking for.
What was he looking for?
Something in which he could see some point. He was unable to find it.
Well, I don't understand this. Do you mean he didn't know what he wanted to do for a living when he left here?
What gives point to your life, Sergeant?
Well,
No, allow me. You believe in your job, though at times you no doubt dislike it. Mm. You believe in your family. You have friends. You have remembered moments of happiness. All these things give point to your life. Thomas Brockhouse had none of these things.
None of them?
None.
Well, didn't he have a family?
He was an emotional pauper. I doubt if you can envisage what that means. He remembered his mother. He knew that she'd been killed by his father. And not in a dramatic way, so that his father could be punished by law, itself a parent figure. His father had not been punished at all. The only one who'd been punished was Tom himself. It's easier, of course, if you believe in God.
But he didn't.
No. His intelligence didn't allow him to believe in God. And from his studies, he took the knowledge that he was a minuscule speck clinging like a cheese worm to the outer crust of a minor planet. And since he knew that, and that after death there was nothing, what does it matter how one lives?
Oh, what's the point, in fact?
That's right, Sergeant. What is the point?
Do you think he's mad?
No, though you might persuade a psychiatrist to say so if he happens to hold a certain theory. He's simply a badly flawed human being. He has no creative instincts. He despises creation or anything connected with it. Happiness, regard of others, codes of morality.
Why did he leave you?
I thought I told you.
You told me he was unsatisfactory, but you also said he was very intelligent. That doesn't sound as if he failed any examinations.
You really are a detective, aren't you, Sergeant? I apologize for forgetting that.
So there was some trouble.
A girl student was found in his room. Well, that isn't unusual, of course. It's taken for granted nowadays that sort of thing happens. But in this case, a blind eye could not be turned. He'd gone berserk. She was on the floor, and he was kicking her when the others came in to find out what the noise was about. And when they pulled him away from her, he tried to attack them with a knife.
Was he charged?
No.
Why not?
We prefer to deal with our own problems in our own way, if we can. No one was injured.
And the girl?
She was more shocked than anything else.
What was her name?
I don't think I can tell you that.
Why not?
She begged us not to inform the police at the time. To do so now would be a breach of confidence. I'm not trying to be obstructive. The girl's no longer in the country. In any case, how could she help you?
Well, no one knows until we've asked her.
I gave my word.
All right. Where did Brockhouse live?
He had lodgings, a room. He left that when he left the university.
To go where? Well, there must be some sort of address. He must have come from somewhere.
Well, there is the address from his enrolment, somewhere north. Perhaps the bursar's office?
Well, thank you, Mr. Grimaldi. I'm sorry to have kept you so long.
It's been a fascinating experience, Sergeant.
Mr. Davis, can I have a word with you, sir?
I'm just going out.
It's rather important.
I'm late already. Write a report.
Well, it's a bit complicated.
I said a report. If you want me, Newcomb, you know where I'll be.
Well.
What have you been up to?
I saw Brockhouse's old teacher. He knew him pretty well. He says he's a nice fella, likes hurting people, knocks girls about and sticks knives in people. An emotional pauper.
How much?
That's college chat for a right bastard.
Do they know where he is?
Where he came from, Shropshire. He's a country boy. Why wouldn't Davis listen?
He must have knocked you off his list after last night.
Yeah. Well, where's he gone?
See Pawson.
What's up? How is he?
Oh, I don't know. But it can't be all that good. Tom's isn't too good either. Some kind of complications.
Oh, God, no. What's the trouble?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Well, thanks for cheering me up. God, how I hate writing reports.
I've read your report, Milton.
Yes, sir.
This address you've got in Shropshire, is that where you think he's hiding?
No, I don't think so. He turned up in Ealing the same night that report appeared in the evening papers. So he must be in London or very near to it. I expect he's got a room somewhere. No, sir, I've been thinking about that shotgun. He seems pretty used to guns, much more than a city boy is likely to be. Well, if he came from a farm, then that's where he first used them. And if he did, then somebody's likely to remember.
All right, I'll put it through. But I don't want you messing about on spec. Go up tomorrow, stay overnight, and come back the day after and report.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you do.
What about Tom, sir?
Not too good. Pawson's lucky, though. They saved his arm.
Saved it? I didn't know.
Yes, it looked like amputation.
Oh, it's my fault. I should have been quicker. I took it for granted he'd come without trouble. I should have reckoned with him having another gun.
All right, Arthur. It's all true. I'm not pleased about it, nor is Mr. Miller. It's a mark against you. And you know what that means. But bear this in mind. If you had been quicker and crowded him, he's likely to have used his gun sooner than he did. Pawson could be dead, and so could you.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
And stop thinking about it. Nothing you can do now. Get up to Shropshire and bring me back a lead.
Sergeant Milton?
That's right.
Oh, Wilson, Detective Constable. I'm your detail. You'll want to go out to Mr. Mitchell's place at Tinnelthrop.
If you please.
You know the Mitchells?
Well, not personally, though I have an uncle and aunt living near. They're big farmers, grow wheat and barley. Good people. Well, the old man, anyway. Very good farmer. Very respected man. Shall I come in with you?
No, you stay in the car. I'm not expecting any trouble, but if you do hear a shot, call up your station before you do anything.
Take a chair, Sergeant Milton.
Thank you, sir. I believe you have a grandson, Thomas Derrick Brockhouse. Is he staying with you?
No. Why do you ask?
I understand that you might be reluctant to tell me anything which you feel might harm him.
Who understands anything? I'm 74 years old, and I understand less now than I did 50 years ago. Have you any children, Sergeant?
No.
Are you a religious man?
Not particularly.
No one seems to be these days. It was all so different when I was young. You think about the past a lot when you get old. I miss my children, Tom and Selina. They were lovely children. Now they're both gone, dead and buried.
I knew about your daughter. I didn't know you had a son.
He was killed in the war at Salerno. He's buried there. That is why Selina called her son Tom. Thomas Derrick. Her husband tried to persuade her against it.
Do you know where her husband is now?
Somewhere in Cape Town, I believe.
Would you know if he corresponds with his son?
He does not. 3 months after my daughter's death in 1952, he married a girl 18 years younger than himself. A girl who'd caused my daughter some unhappiness.
And your grandson knew this?
Yes. I adopted the boy when he was 14.
Yeah. Was he a happy boy?
I believe so. He enjoyed the country. He was very fond of shooting. But he was too dreamy for a farmer. He was always a bright boy, a quick learner, and ingratiating. In that, he was similar to his father, who was always very plausible.
Did you know he took drugs?
No.
You don't seem very surprised.
I've had a feeling for some time that things weren't right. He changed when he went to London. When he was last here, 5 weeks ago, he looked very tired and said he'd had a lot of studying to do for an examination. I didn't wholly believe him. After he'd gone, I went up to his room. It's something I'd never done before. I wanted to see if his shotgun was still there.
And was it?
Yes. But his father once brought a Luger pistol home from Italy as a souvenir from the war. That was gone.
Did you ever suspect that your grandson could have been involved in a serious crime? In the shooting of Constable Toms?
Not till yesterday. Then I found these newspaper cuttings. They refer to the incident you mentioned. There are other things, pictures.
I'll have to take these with me, sir. And the shotgun.
I understand that.
One other thing I'd like to ask you. You've obviously used shotguns a lot yourself. Have you ever heard of anyone removing the shot from a cartridge?
10 years ago, after a shooting party was made up to clear off pests from some of the adjoining land, one of the local lads who fancied himself as a marksman had his gun loaded with shotless cartridges. It was a joke.
Yes?
The lad fired his first barrel at close range, and of course, his target flew off. He guessed what had happened. He was furious and threw the gun wide. The second barrel fired. He blinded his younger brother.
Your grandson knew?
He saw it happen.
Yeah. Have you a photograph of your grandson?
That's him on the mantelpiece as a boy, before he went to London.
Yes. Have you any idea where he could be now?
You don't know.
We'll find him eventually. It would be better for everyone if we could find him soon.
When you find him, what will you do?
Arrest him. If he comes quietly, he'll be all right. We wouldn't set about him for the sake of it.
I would. If it was one of mine. He wrote to me earlier this week. Here is the address. 17 Courtfield Terrace, London, W12.
You did well, Arthur. A lot better than I thought you would. I admit that.
Oh, luck, really, sir. The old man was brooding about it and ready to unload when I arrived.
So this is the gun, eh? On any other case, it would be enough. More than enough.
He might break.
I've spent the best part of 3 hours with him, up to about 10 minutes before you got here.
What, Brockhouse?
Yes, we brought him in at 9 this morning. Got straight onto it after you phoned the address through. He didn't have this Luger, his grandfather says he took. He had nothing. No drugs, guns, knives, or dirty photographs. Just a lot of books. And there's nothing wrong with them either. A dictionary of philosophy, Da Vinci sketchbooks, motivation of commerce, psychology of the crowd. Intelligent bastard, isn't he?
I can't see these connecting up with any university course.
So what, Arthur? It's not a crime not to go to college, or to allow your grandfather to believe that you are. Once more, he's been reading the laws of evidence. And he knows all he has to do is to sit there and say nothing. And we've got to prove every damn thing we say he did.
Can I see him, sir?
Why not? Show him the gun. You never know your luck. But we can't keep him much longer. Not if he goes on like he has been. When you've had your chat, let him go. I'll have a man waiting for him.
Your name is Thomas Derrick Brockhouse, is that right?
Who are you?
Detective Sergeant Milton.
Yes, Detective Sergeant Milton. I am Thomas Derrick Brockhouse. I have now been here for 3 hours and 25 minutes, and I wish either to be allowed to contact my solicitor or to know the details of any charge that is being made against me.
Oh, been messing you about, have they, lad? Asking a lot of silly questions. You have to make allowances, lad. Not all of us are up to talking with a bright lad like you. Now, I came to talk to you about this gun. Now, don't be frightened to look at it. No harm in owning a shotgun, especially in your own home county. It's nice up there, isn't it? Go on, pick it up. We know it's yours. Must be quite a few days since you've handled it. How long since you've done any shooting?
I have now been here 3 hours and 27 minutes, and I'm still awaiting details of a charge or an opportunity to telephone my solicitor.
You know, your grandfather's a fine old man. It's a long time since I've met anyone with as much character. You can see it all in his face. It's all there.
I've now been here...
Now, your face. That's an interesting face. You're a bit of an actor, aren't you, lad? Put on the face you think people would like to see. But, of course, I'm a professional. Not bright or anything like that, but experienced.
I've now been here...
I see a lot of faces. Been looking at them for years. Angry faces, frightened faces, all sorts. I know the face of innocence, for example. It isn't yours. Innocence isn't unconcern. Not in a police station, it isn't. It's bewilderment, confusion. It's out of its depth. A bit pathetic, innocence is. You'd never stand for being pathetic, would you, lad?
I've been here for 3 hours and a half.
Nothing like a talking clock at all. Now, calculation is something else. You can always tell when someone's been calculating. Reading up the laws of evidence, for example, like a shark lawyer. An innocent man would never do that. Probably have no idea what the laws of evidence are. You get what I'm talking about, don't you, lad? A clever chap like you would get my point right away, and not being innocent, you wouldn't want to answer.
As I've been here for over 3.5 hours, and no one has told me of any charge, I assume I have not been arrested. I was asked to come here to assist inquiries. Having done so, I'm going home. Unless there is a charge.
No, no charge. How could we have any evidence for a charge?
Then why was I brought here?
We wanted to meet you, talk to you, see what you looked like. We get curious, too. We wanted to see what kind of a human being you are. And now, of course, we know.
Milton, come here.
Sir?
Bad news from the hospital.
Who's that?
Tom's. Sudden relapse. He's not blind anymore. He's dead.
Stop. You hear that, Brockhouse? Tom's is dead. Dead, dead.
Steady, steady, Arthur.
I've now been here well over 3.5 hours, and still no charge has been made. I've been most patient. And now, if you have no objection, I am going home.
Hello, Arthur.
Oh, hello, Mr. Davis. Something wrong, sir?
Oh, no. No, nothing. Nothing at all. I've just come from the Director of Public Prosecutions. We haven't a case. A large scotch, please. Oh, and a pint, I suppose.
Oh, thank you, sir. No case. It stands up to me.
Not to them, it doesn't. Don't forget, this crap hound hasn't got any form to start with. He's a baby-faced student with a spotless reputation who lost his mother at the age of 8. You'll have the jury ready to give him a pound out of the poor box for a start. Oh, thanks.
Thank you. But, sir, the evidence...
Evidence? What evidence? Toms can't identify him now. Lloyd only saw his back and thought his hair was white. Card from the girl would be picked to pieces in the box.
We've got the bullets from the cemetery.
Yes, but we've still got to prove we had the gun at the time. I'll bet he's got rid of it. We can't put the old man in the box. Or that prosy bastard you saw.
Grimaldi, well, he made sense.
Yeah, not to a jury, he wouldn't. Pawson can't identify our man from the cemetery. And so on and so on.
So he just walks away.
Until the next time. There's always a next time.
I'm not so sure. Damn it, he murders Toms, he cripples Pawson, he does God knows what else, and he gets away with it. He's laughing at us.
Keep your voice down. I know how you feel, Arthur. I've seen it before. Good men being eaten away. Remember what you are. You're a policeman, not a judge or a jury or an executioner. If you can't take a man within the law, you've got to grit your teeth and wear it. Now, don't do anything silly, Arthur.
Still eating your heart out, Arthur?
Oh, hello, Henry.
2 points.
Henry, what would you do if you left the force?
Keep a pub.
Oh, I wouldn't be any good at that.
No, you wouldn't. You've got the face of an undertaker. You'd remind the poor passers of what they come into a boozer to forget.
Oh, thanks.
Now, stop, Austin. Oh, thanks. What's it all about?
They say we haven't got a case.
I know.
I'm going to have him, Henry. And if I can't do it as a copper, I'm going to jack it in.
You're like a bleeding nut. Why stop at Brockhouse? Why not get on your white horse about Griffin? He knocks people over there every other day.
Well, they're a load of rubbish anyway. Griffin does what we ought to do but can't. Keep the weeds down. But Brockhouse, he's special. I want him.
You think you're the only one?
Who else?
Me.
And what are you going to do about it?
Where do Griffin's layabouts hang out at night?
I'm not having any truck with that scum.
Who said you were? Or me. Now get that walloping, and I'll tell you what's going to happen to Brockhouse. We're going to 75 Glenmore Drive.
Well, what happens there?
Get the beer in. Open up!
Hey, what the hell's going on?
Mr. Newcomb.
Get up, Pinky, and put your knife away. Before I have you for possession of an offensive weapon. Arthur, I think you know Mr. Pinky Price, tout, twister, and general piece of rubbish.
I do.
You shouldn't have come here, Mr. Newcomb. Straight up you shouldn't. I never done you any harm. And I'm an old
get
man.
Get stuffed and stop whining, or I'll take you out of here with my hand on your collar.
Take me? What the hell for?
What's the going, Price, to Brockhouse?
What do you mean?
Cut it out, Pinky, or I really will take you in. Griffin wants him. He can't find him. How much is he paying?
Oh, half a ton for anyone who sees him. You know what that means. You might be lucky to see 10 or even 5. Yeah, but you want him for Toms, don't you? Leastways your boss does.
Who says so?
I get it. You can't hang it on him. Hey, Mr. Newcomb.
Shut your face and get your coat on. Where's the nearest phone box?
Up round the corner. I'll get through to Griffin himself. Tell him I see Brockhouse while I was visiting a mate. How about that?
17 Courtfield Terrace. It's off Wood Lane.
You got a sixpence?
Yeah. And a fiver to go with it.
Oh, that ain't necessary. I don't want no money from you.
I always pay for what I want, and I don't owe any favours. Now go and find that phone box. We'll be watching.
Arthur?
Yes, Mr. Davis?
2 things. Had a look at the society pages in the press this morning?
No, sir.
Griffin's doing all right. Opened a big new club last night. Look, there he is. Film actresses all round him.
Ooh.
Quite a success, apparently. Had to put extra men on to handle the traffic.
Oh,
and I've had a call from the Port of London police. They want someone to go down there. I think you might like to go yourself.
What's the trouble, sir?
They took a body from the water at Wapping Old Stairs. early this morning. A young man, badly beaten up, and then flung in to drown. No papers or anything else to identify him. I'd seen to that. Curiously, though, they overlooked one thing. The inside of the leather belt, holding up his trousers. There was a name there, in indelible pencil. Brockhouse.
In With Intent, the novel by Lawrence Henderson, dramatized by Felix Felton and Susan Ashman, Detective Sergeant Milton was played by Felix Felton, Detective Superintendent Davis by Hector Ross, and Sergeant Newcomb by Alan Dudley. The rest of the cast was as follows: Constable Pawson, Sean Arnold, Constable Toms, Godfrey Kenton, Mr. Lloyd, James Thomason, Harry Carter, Wilfred Carter, Sally Carter, Sonia Fraser, Christine Wren, Patricia Gallimore, Liz Jenkins, Jan Edwards, Pinky Price, Malcolm Hayes, Griffin, Brian Haynes, Mr. Grimaldi, John Brining, Mr. Mitchell, Austin Trevor, Thomas Derek Brockhouse, Brian Hewlett. The play was produced by Betty Davis.